kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night. Good day, everyone. Welcome to WSCIRO on Blog Talk Radio, on Faith Talks Live Prayer, and I am Dr. Shirley Caniff, the General Manager and co-host. I'm here alone, but actually not really alone. I'm with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I wanted to dedicate this show to a shift part two, and namely the shift that saved my life. I'm going to talk more about the meaning of the word shift, which we should have done at the beginning, which we should have done in part one, I should say, and then we're going to go into, you know, just what, you know, how are we to respond to this in our everyday life? How did I respond to it when a shift came to me in the 90s? Okay, we all have individual shifts that we go through in the Holy Ghost, but then, You know, like right now in this day and age, there's a shift for the entire body of Christ, and that happens from generation to generation, and sometimes it lasts about 10 years, 25 years, and then another shift happens. But I want to primarily focus on, and I believe the Lord has His finger on this, just what is a shift, and how do we a shift in the Holy Ghost, and how do we, as followers of Christ, respond to that, and I can share some of my struggles, like I said earlier, and it might touch the heart of, it will touch the heart of some of you, because you know, because let's face it, we're human, and we can respond to the shift either in the spirit or struggle with it somewhat in the flesh. But the beautiful thing about a shift in the Holy Spirit is when God, because He has a purpose, He has something that He's intending to do to His people collectively, okay? Because the body of Christ is not a microorganism, an organism. It's a live thing. It's something, you know, it's a live body, all right? Inspired, you know, or breathe in through, you know, full of the breath of the life of the Holy Spirit, okay? So, you know, the Lord breathes His breath of life into each one of us individually. And at baptism, you know, He puts a new spirit within us. And, He takes up the old heart, the old stony heart. He puts in a new flesh, a heart of flesh. And He puts His spirit into us. He breathes His spirit into us. Okay? And it's a wonderful way to begin a relationship, don't you think? But if He does this to each, and, you know, everyone that's called according to His name, then what, you know, the end result is the body of Christ, or in some circles we consider ourselves to be bride of Christ, you know, because the Lord is preparing us to be a spotless bride for Him, because He's our bridegroom king. So we're going to talk about that, because we really, there's something that the Holy Spirit requires of us to do, and if we don't listen to what He's, you know, telling us to do, we can really individually mess things up for ourselves, but we don't want to do that. That's not what God's will is, okay? So, before we do that, we're going to go into prayer, but before we go into prayer, I just want to say hi, like I do with, in every single one of our shows. I want to say hi to all my Facebook friends, YouTube family, friends and family in Coffee Talk Blog. Hi, Linda. At all you all, Linda and John Paul and Sean Breen and a couple of other people there, but I'm not leaving you out. You're all one big family there. And the folks in Metro West Bridge Church, and I want to say hi to Rose. She's my time manager here on my laptop. And also the folks in Vimeo, you know, I'm telling you, this new media in all its venues is expanding day by day. Blog Talk TV and Blog Radio. So this is so many different things that, and friends that I've, you know, that the Lord's blessed me with. that, you know, it's if I didn't have, if there was no such thing as social media network, I don't think there, maybe the Lord in his infinite wisdom would have another way for me to become friends with everyone. But I could talk to a friend that I consider family in the Holy Ghost from India. So it's just awesome. You know, it's not just India, but India and Ireland, UK, and Tennessee. I have a friend who's in Tennessee, and she's actually on in our school. She's a student in our school. We have about 30 students in our school, Seek International Leadership School, Multimedia Ministry. And out of 30 students, she seems to be the one that's really, really wanting to, you know, get trained in ministry and go out there. And we're always corresponding through the chat room and through video, through emails. And this is awesome. We are in a transition in our school where we started on the Ning Network, and that's where people, you know, made application and got accepted. And for the most part, I was using the email as a correspondence, as a way of corresponding and getting them, you know, their books and study materials and different things like that. But Vimeo has a Vimeo Plus program. They have a private feature. And the school's on private feature. You know, there's a school calendar, and I've uploaded all the PDF books, you know, so that people can just go to that site. Students can just go to that site, no matter where they are in the world, and just download the PDF documents, which are the study materials and also the questions. They can also send in their answers through email, and I actually establish a file through the email system. And each person has their own file. So right now, my student here, she's going to be receiving the finals for all the work that she's done, and she's going to be doing a ministry paper, you know, based on, she's, you know, I've asked her to do a mission and vision of her ministry, you know, and first of all, she has to pray and ask the Lord what it is, and I kind of broke it down to her what I expected in that. So it's just awesome what God is doing, and it's just, you know, we're supposed to be doing things out of rest and ease, and we receive that from the Holy Spirit as a gift when we worship Him. I mean, when we worship God through Him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and He just comes upon us, and, you know, and with us, and in us, and beside us, and He brings us into all truth. Not only brings us to all truth, brings us into an intimate relationship with Jesus and the Father. So, and they're one and the same. But we'll talk more about that in the other Faith Talk Side Prayer. But right now, I just want to just, you know, call upon the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. I can do nothing. I can't even speak, you know, on behalf of, you know, as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, we just want to do that, guys. So let's do it. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Father. Thank you, Son, and thank you, the Holy Spirit. We just thank you that, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. We ask you to come into our time, come into our lives in a very special way. Reveal what it is that you want us to talk about today in relation to the shift, and how do you expect us to position ourselves and to receive what you have for us. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we don't want to do anything outside of the grace of walking in your love and mercy. So, Lord, we ask that you would just pour out your love and mercy in a greater way, and your peace and your joy, your healing, your love, all those wonderful gifts and attributes of the Holy Spirit. In those areas, Lord, that we need greater faith in, Lord, we ask that you would release that your faith from on high in a mighty way. And I ask, Lord, for a greater outpouring of the zeal to want to worship you and in spirit and in truth, and the gift of worship too. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and bless my brothers and sisters out there who are walking the walk and talking the talk, but also in their struggles. But, you know, bless them in their struggles with a greater anointing to trust in you, trust in you carrying them through their circumstances that they find themselves in, and let, and I tell you, bind any spirit of self-condemnation coming upon them in Jesus' holy name. We just thank you, Lord. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart during this broadcast be acceptable unto you, O Lord, and until you return. And we just thank you, Lord. I thank you for the privilege of being able to just come before you and speak on behalf of the kingdom and what you want to do here on the earth through your people, Lord, through my life. As at times I feel so mediocre and how, why are you using me, Lord? But Lord, you break into time and you change lives and you change hearts. That's what your job description is all about. That's what your title is about, Lord. That's who you are. You are the great redeemer of everyone. And so we just thank you, Lord, that in this time of transition, in this time of shift, the great shift, that you are indeed bringing your people to, which is my people, to, you know, because I'm part of the body, that you're bringing everyone to into the place that you have destined them to be in this day and age and in this time in human history. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Well, I'm not so sure how long this broadcast is going to be, but I really got a sense from the last broadcast that we did, and I just want to say that before we go into the teaching, I there's so many asides to this. You know, for those who have been faithfully following the seven series of levels of faith, we are going to get back to that. We have two more broadcasts on that. And, you know, depending on the content of it, it may be a long show or two short segments. I still have to discern that, and I got to ask the Lord how He wants me to deliver the teaching. And so we're going to get back to that. But before the last, after the last show, crying out, faith, and the show after that, the shift part one, there was a shift. And so the Lord said, my hand is on the shift, and I just need my people to be attentive to the shift that I have brought to the earth. So it's not just an ordinary shift. And a lot of people are talking about it. Within the last broadcast, shift part one, we had done that Saturday. Actually, I had done that Saturday. I think it was late Saturday morning, this past Saturday, with the 14. And I had recorded it just like I'm doing this right now. Many of our shows have been live, especially the ones that we interview, but the ones that when we interview other people from other ministries, what happens is that they're on and they can call in, but this time, you know, during the seventh series of faith, we've actually probably towards the last, half of that series, we've actually started to, we realize we can actually record and that we can get a better sound quality. So that is what we've chosen to do here in the studios of WSCIRO. We are, recording this right now, and I usually put the songs on live. But, for the sake of the listeners, we had recorded shift part one prior to going to Metro West Bridge Church. Jamie Galloway was the worshiper and speaker for that, for Collide, I guess Collide happened on Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th, but we weren't able to attend Friday the 13th, and I hope that we would be able to attend both, because I heard that there was, wonderful blessings that the Lord was doing. But we got blessed on Saturday when we were called to go on Saturday, but when we went there, all of a sudden Jamie Galloway just started talking about the shift, and I'm thinking, wow, this is definitely on God's heart. The shift is so on God's heart that he'll change a meaning just for people to, for the, the person he's appointed to teach it or talk about it or prophesy from it, that he, stops and interrupts that, whatever they were going to do to make himself known in this. And it was basically some of the things that he had talked about in one of the shift. So it's just awesome to see God's hand at work, in this time, and through his prophets, his servants, his prophets, his friends, okay? And it's just awesome. God, you are so awesome. You are so awesome. You are welcomed in this place. We just thank you, Holy Spirit. You are welcomed in this place. Okay, all right. Prior to this show, we had done some research on the word shift because I thought, I think people need to understand shift. I think we take it for granted that we know what shift is. But we went to Merriam's Dictionary just to get a greater perspective on just, what, the definition of shift is in a dictionary, okay? And usually they have several meanings, and it's really good when you know what they are and you can apply them to the prophetic or to the revelation coming from heaven. So, what is this? What is shift? Okay, shift is a sudden change or or transition. Okay, and there's different ways to experience changes, to change the place, position, or direction of, and so it's some kind of movement. All right, and it's remember what I said at the beginning of this broadcast that shift is the body of Christ is a living organism, and it's not a microorganism like a cell, like a unicell, all right, that that makes up all of, that's the, the foundation of life, but it is a multicellular spiritual organism, that embrace, that embodies individuals that are followers of Jesus that have been inspired, through the breath of the Holy Spirit, changing their lives, changing their inner man to the new man nature. So, lots of things are going on in this living organism, spiritual organism, called the church in some circles. Others want to say body of Christ because it embraces all denominations and house churches and home churches and, just places where the Holy Spirit is moving. There's different, it says in scripture, there's different parts to the body, okay? But what does this body look like? It looks like a bride, because we, another characteristic of the church is that we are Jesus, we are the bride of Christ, okay? And Jesus is the bridegroom, all right? And the Holy Spirit is the comforter of the bride, and preparing the bride to get ready, encouraging the bride, and everything that was given to her that, she needs to make herself ready for the bridegroom to come and set the kingdom up on the earth. Okay, so, that's the scenario of this. And there are times, because we are in this world, but we are not of this world, okay, there are times where the conditions of the world can get the bride a little dirty. So the Lord will allow times of shifting to happen, sovereign shifts, okay, like we talked about earlier, where something is changed in on this planet to make known, to communicate to people of God what he is doing in the spirit, okay, and mindsets are changed, directions are changed, because maybe, people were going a certain way, and they, there could have been a potential for a loss of life. The Lord is willing that many people stay alive for this the shift that's happening to, with newer ways of taking care of our bodies, health wise and everything, because he really has big plans for us, okay, and he wants a healthy people spiritually, physically, intellectually. He wants us to think like the mind of Christ, because there's a spirit of insanity in this world. It's coming through the drugs, the drug war. It's coming through anger and post-trauma and fear, and it's trying to claim the minds of even believers if they can be deceived into insane thinking. So that's what the spirit of insanity, which is operating in the world, is trying to do. But the Lord's allowed a shift to happen so we can get back on track, all right, to move us from one place to another as a body. He's done this individually throughout throughout church history with individuals, and oftentimes different moves of the Holy Spirit were birthed through certain individuals, but now he's collectively doing this in the body of Christ. So I hope that clarifies a lot of things, okay? So anyways, and another thing too, I prayed earlier that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable unto the Lord. So, one of the things that is also a shift, characteristics of a shift change, is when a person's speech is changed. Like, instead of, negative speech, which, leads to death, like it says in James 3, there's a change in life-giving speech. And Isaiah had asked the Lord, when the Lord had marked him to be a prophet unto the house of Israel, he said, "Well, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. You got to have to change my way of speaking," because he was aware of his own unworthiness, just based on the way he was speaking, because he knew that that life was in the power of the tongue. And so that's what many of us have to do. The light bulb, the Lord's turning on the light bulb of many people's hearts and minds, and he's pointing to the lips and saying, "I'm going to change your speech." Okay, so be open to the change of speech. I mean, I think it's a good thing. All right. I just want to just talk about for a couple of minutes how a shift in the in 1995 had actually saved my life. A personal shift, and this is going to be awesome, because you're going to see the hand of God in this. And the Lord's going to take all fear, worry, and anxiety out of your life experiencing this right now, because you're going to see how His hand came into a situation, a circumstance of hopelessness, all right, of preoccupation of the woe is me, and nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms, the pity party. I don't know if it's a pity party or pity party. I think it's both. You're sitting on a pity pot of life, and you are having a pity party. So with me, myself, and I, right? So anyways, there was a time in my life in my early 30s where, my kids were very, very young, all four of them. And, I had been, it seemed like at that time I had been a single parent for like all my life. And it was just tired of the status quo, and I knew that there was something that the Lord even then had for me, there was a purpose for my life, and the Lord wanted me to do something, but somehow, some of the choices I had made prior to that time, I allowed distractions to come in, and it just only delayed His plans and purposes for me. So, really walking in that frustration and unfulfillment and even failure, thinking I was a failure. That's what I was doing. That was what was in my heart at the time. So in order to shake the feeling, because at times, I was bringing me to a state of depression. And it was more like situational depression. And so, I knew enough at that time that if I just meditate on the Word of God, and just keep, to stay in constant prayer and meditation before the Lord, he's gonna have to move, because, it's all about Him and not about me, and I wanted good things for my family, and I couldn't help the things that have already happened, but I could, look forward to a wonderful future, especially a future that is paved by prayer and fasting. Okay, so I did a lot of that. I did a lot of prayer walks. I used that opportunity to pray for the city in which I was living at the time, to pray to the futures of my children, and myself, and different things like that, and into the body of Christ. So I really believe God honored that prayer, but there was times where I was thinking, Lord, are you honoring this? Are you hearing from me? And the day was December 19th, a couple of days before Christmas. I decided that, you know, I was too overwhelmed to stay at home. So I had my oldest son, who was 15 at the time, or 14 at the time. I just had him just watch the rest of the family, you know, while I just take a break. So I didn't have a car at the time, so, you know, I did a lot of walking, and I would take the bus. So I took the bus to the chapel where, you know, it was a Franciscan chapel at the time, and it was where I received communion and offered up my prayers daily. But I would also meditate on the four Gospels of the Lord in the New Testament, you know, just, you know, looking at, examining in a greater detail, you know, Angel Gabriel coming to Mary, telling her that she was going to conceive of Jesus through the Holy, you know, she's conceived Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and that she was a chosen, you know, one of the chosen, she's not one of the chosen, she was a chosen woman for the Messiah, and then, you know, it went into how she went to her cousin Elizabeth, because the angel had revealed to her at that moment that her cousin, who was barren, she was 60 years old and barren, was in her sixth month of pregnancy, and so, you know, they had their meeting, and the children leapt in both their wombs, and there was a major prayer meeting going on there, right? And Elizabeth, you know, was the mother of John the Baptist, and also, you know, then we, you know, I looked in, you know, I would meditate in a greater way about the birth of Jesus and his presentation in the temple, and then his when he became of age, when he got lost in the temple, and you know, he was found by his parents, and you know, the Lord had used him. He had just given a teaching to the rabbis, and they were so amazed as to the wisdom that was in this 12-year-old young man of God, and he was, I believe that was probably his bar mitzvah, and then also, you know, then I went into, you know, his life, you know, his mission, his ministry, you know, when he went to get baptized by John and the Jordan River, and then the heavens opened up, and then, you know, there was a power from on high coming upon him. Everybody knew at that point that he was the Messiah, okay? But they, you know, they still, he still, Jesus still had to, you know, go through his ministry. You know, there was the first miracle in Cana, when Mary, you know, knew that it was Jesus' time, but Jesus, for some reason, didn't know, but Mary must have gotten revelation, and when they ran out of the wine, at this wedding, that was probably lasting 7 days, Jesus says, you know, woman, this is not my time. When the disciples had asked him, Rabbi, what are you going to do? He goes, well, this is not my time. And then Jesus, and then they went up to Mary's mother, to Jesus' mother, Mary, and then Mary says, do whatever he tells you to do. And, you know, she must have received a word of knowledge, and, you know, that this miracle was going to happen, to mark his, you know, his ministry, and it did. You know, he took the water and turned it into wine. Okay, so, you know, I examined his life, death, and resurrection, and I would meditate upon that, because there was always, I was always getting this revelation and things like that, and I knew if I was in the scriptures and just focusing on Jesus and what he did for us, there would be no, he would have no other choice but to act on my behalf. And, you know, it wasn't rote or anything. It was more like, you know, it just became, you know, the four Gospels became a part of my life. So I was carrying that, you know, those seeds of faith, cultivating that within me when this miracle happened. And, you know, the proverbial question in between meditation was, Lord, when are you gonna? When am I gonna do what you're calling me to do? And you know, reveal to me what you wanted me to do. And he kept saying, "Worship me, in spirit and truth. Worship me." That's what I kept getting. So that's what I was doing in between. But I'm thinking, is this all? And I didn't realize the magnitude of worship and the effect it was going to have on the body of Christ years later when I became a worship leader. But it was the beginning of the beginnings. And so it was during the stretch of days where it wasn't terribly, it was actually a pretty warm winter. It wasn't terribly cold. There was no ice, but there was a lot of rain, a lot of drizzle. Kind of reminded me of England weather. But we're in New England, so I'm sure that there's some similarity. So I was waiting at the bus stop, you know, praying the prayers, and you know, in between faith and the pity party that I was having on the pot. And so, anyways, you know, I'm on, and I think this is significant. I was actually the route that you know I was to take the bus on was Pleasant Street, but it was also Route 27 and Psalm 27. So I was always prayed Psalm 27 when I was there because I knew that I needed to put my trust in the Lord. So I'm putting my trust in the Lord, meditating, and then I was thinking about this this teaching from Kings. Somehow it popped into my spirit about when the spies are spying out the land in the Kings, and because the Philistines were after them, and they had word that the Philistines were just about like on their tail, and they had to act quickly, and they had to, you know, you had to act without thinking. They, you know, they didn't even have time to pray, as far as I'm concerned. But you know, the Lord kept saying, you know, move, and they were like that, you know, kind of like doubting the Lord. Well, you know, the Lord says move, but you know, if we don't, you know, if we wait, you know, we may be overtaken by our enemies. But if we go, you know, we don't know what's on the other side either, but at least, you know, we'll be safer. We may be safer there, you know, over there than here. So we might as well move. And it was just so, it happened so fast. And the Lord said, move. And that was like a shift. Move. You know, you're going to get hit. You're going to, you know, that's what it was. You're going to be killed if you don't move. Like, it was like all of a sudden it came to my time, and I'm thinking about the spies, and they just like, if you don't move, you got to get killed. And I think he said that twice. Second time, I moved, okay? I moved three steps. I moved on the sidewalk. I jumped on the sidewalk, and then I jumped on this property, because I heard a crash. I was like, what's going on? And the telephone pole that I was leaning on, which was the bus stop, right, it was hit by a car and saw it in half. It broke in half. And if I was there, I would have been killed on the spot. I would have been sawed in half by a car. But heaven came in, broke into my time, opened up my spiritual ears. It was really fast. It happened so fast. The power from on high came from within me and upon me, and I knew that all heaven was with me, that I had the attention of heaven, because I was also on my way to communion, all right, to a Catholic, you know, liturgy, communion, to, you know, to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. And so then the bus comes. I'm sorry. So after the first time, because this accident was caused by somebody brakes. I heard brakes. I heard clicks as I was getting that revelation. That's what it was. And I'm like, something's about ready to happen. I better move real quick. So it was the gold car. It hit the telephone pole that I was standing at, all right, on Route 27. I was looking in the opposite direction. I wasn't even looking at the direction that this car was coming from. Had I done that, I think it would have frozen fear, and I would have been, that would have been it for me. So the Lord didn't want me to see what was going on. I had my ear to the grind, though. And then there was the black car that actually got, you know, was actually the one that got out of control. It was the one that hit the back, you know, of the other car that hit the telephone pole. So when that car was trying to avoid even, you know, getting to a greater fender bender, it must have made a decision to come into the front yard of this lady, of the yard that I was standing in, because as soon as I sought refuge, then this other car, you know, it's, you know, that was the second car, or I don't know how this fender bender thing went, but I believe it might have been he was just trying to avoid it when a greater calamity came over the shrubs and was heading right for me. And I said, Lord Jesus, you know, for the sake of my children, save my life. For the sake of Joshua, I said, do not let this car hit me. You know, I was like, he was heading for me from the backside. and then the Lord stopped. It just, the car stopped. And I was like, well, at that time I looked like a deer that was, in the headlights. I was like, so like, oh my God, heaven spared my life. I must be alive for a reason. So what happened was, this is so real as I'm talking to you, I'm just reliving this whole situation. So the bus that was I was waiting for, it was must have been right at 5:30, it was at 5:30, I'm sorry, the 5:15 bus. He stops, he goes, lady, are you okay? And I said, yes. He goes, do you still need a ride? I said, I do. I said, just call the ambulance for these people. I don't know if anybody's hurt. And but I'm supposed to be going to the chapel to a mass. And so I get on the, as I'm boarding the bus, he says, lady, I thought you should be happy. You must have some kind of luck. He didn't say blessing. He said luck. He did say blessing. He said, you are a blessed woman. When I saw what was about ready to happen to you, I just thought you were a dead woman. There wasn't even a chance that he thought I was going to even, recover from what was about ready to happen to me. And then he said, all of a sudden, as I was thinking that, you were just, like, all of a sudden, like, something just pushed you way back, like real quick. He goes, I never seen anything like it before. Somebody just picked you up. I thought I was moving. I thought somebody just picked you up and put you on that lawn. You were thrown back. And I'm like, well, I said, I guess that was the power of God. I said, I was praying. I'm like, I normally do when I'm waiting for the bus and walking around. And I said, I just hope there's no atheists on the bus again. I said, what you just witnessed was the power of the Lord, the hand of God. I said, not that I'm perfect or anything. I'm a sinner just like you, but I just gave my life to the Lord, and He's been so faithful to me. I said, I'm a single parent, but I said, this day I know that there's a purpose for my life, and there's a purpose for every single one of you people here on the bus. And I said, it's not by accident that you're witnessing this miracle. I said, this is a miracle of Christmas. And I said, Merry Christmas to all of you. And I just said, we just have to just, I said, Jesus loves you all, and I do too, and this is going to be a great life. That's what I said. And I went to church, and it was like I received communion that day like I never received it before, with thanksgiving and, of the wonders of God's love. And this is where the Lord wants everyone that's listening to this. This shift, all right, that's happened in my life, and all of the shift that's happened now for the body of Christ is for a reason, because God has some great things for His people here in the body. And, and you're going to find that your speech is going to change, the way you thought about people is going to change. The Lord says that every single one of you, His children, are special in His sight, even with all the bruises of life and all the... and all the ugliness, judgments, and personal judgments. God is He's plowing through that because He loves you so much. And he calls you beautiful. You are beautiful unto Him. And He's going to make that a reality in your life. And he realizes that there's a lot of forces out there that are trying to thwart His plans for His people. But He has made a way where there is no way in the wilderness. And He's saying, drink freely of this new water that I'm pouring out this in the shift. And so I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in your people. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, how you are changing mindsets, how you are renewing hearts, how you are shaping circumstances and situations and carrying your people to the from one side of the tracks to the next. That you saved them from destruction as they were going one way, and now they're moving in closer to their destiny. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've gone beyond ourselves, and actually stepped into time with us. To take us to that place. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you would just shower your love in a greater way upon your people. Melt their hearts, Lord, and just love on them. Just squeeze them and hug them and hug them to life, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And I'm just going to just offer up communion for those who, you know, you're wondering, you're like, well, how come she, you know, hears from the Lord and the Lord did that for her, or the Lord did that for, you know, the other leaders that you hear from time to time talk about how the Lord stepped into their time, opened up the spiritual ears and eyes. And I just want to say the Lord does want that for you, and he's going to do wonders in the heavenlies, and the heavens are going to open up over you, and he's going to come to you in a very special way. All you have to do is ask, you know, and that's the beauty of prayer. Ask him, and he will do this for you, because this is his will for the body right now. This is his will for all those who are followers of Jesus, okay? So, you know, he's all about strengthening his people in their weakness, and that's where the strength is going to lie. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we offer up this body and blood, Lord, in honor of what you are, you've done, and what you're about ready to do in your people as you shift us. And the Lord is saying, just go, move forward. You know, don't hesitate. I was in a situation where there's my phone here. Okay, there's my phone. All right. Okay, that was my call for work. Anyways, that's what this is life. You know, I'm doing this from my home. But anyways, there was a situation where you know, the Lord was showing me what he's about ready to do, and my heart was not in that place of I was, you know, a little depressed, and I was a little disappointed in some of the things I've been reading on Facebook, and you know, and I was like, Lord, how can, you know, why are some of your people not like responding the way that other Christians are responding, you know? And I'm like, oh, how can I said, how can I be used to bring them, you know, to be used to bring them to that point? And I said, I know that I need to, you know, have the same heart that you have, and no matter what attitudes people have, and I said, I have to, Lord, I need your grace for this, and what do you want me to do for your people? And he said, and I was just like laying down, I was just so tired, I was even tired of praying that prayer, but he said, and this is now, I'm talking about now, he said, I want you to tell them, which I just did earlier, that I love them with an everlasting love, and I've called them according to the purposes that I have for them. And so I thought, this is what I thought. I'm like, I can't. I said, I was just so odd. Now he's mentioned, you know, this is what the scriptures are all about. You know, I've heard words of knowledge and the prophetic, but when it was applied to a particular question that I had offered up in intercessory prayer, I actually had a vision, a quick vision, before I hit the pillow. And he wrote that. He wrote that down on a piece of paper from heaven. And I thought, wow, a lot of people don't know. A lot of the Lord's people do not know that, you know, they are loved by him. No matter what they do, they're loved with an everlasting love. Some people call it the flimsy gospel, but he loves us unconditionally. His love is not like our love. Our love is, as human beings, not under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a very conditional, and very judgmental. And the Lord's love is so much more powerful. It can burn out the dross. It could change lives, change minds, change hearts. You know, human beings do not have the capacity to do that. I'm sorry to add that, to burst the bubble there, but you don't, okay? But God does, okay? And when he speaks, everybody better listen, because he shakes the heavens when he speaks, and he shakes you. So that's what, you know, happened. But he also can be gentle and powerful at the same time when he does that. You know, so how do you like them apples? I think that, You know, so anyways, those apples taste good to me. But anyways, so I just wanted to just encourage everyone to just, you know, receive that he loves you. You know, and as we receive communion for you, we're going to ask the Lord to just open up your eyes and ears in that area in your heart to receive his love, okay? And don't hold back. Anything that is holding back, just feel free to give it to him. You know, and to trust him and lean not on your understanding, and so that he would act on your behalf. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are doing this in your people. You are shifting things. As you're shifting things, you are increasing love and trust in your people, you know, for the greater things of the kingdom. And we just offer up your body and your blood for this shift. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We see the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We see the blood of Christ. Lord, I receive the blood of Christ on behalf of your people. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord, you know, wants to us to call upon the kingdom to our Father that he's given, a prayer that he's given to the church, the body of Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. We thank you, Lord. And thank you for listening to Faith Talks Life Prayer, The Shift That Saved My Life, Part 2. Okay, God bless you. I love you. Bye-bye.